we talked about a little bit, suffering, like moving a couch as heavy as an elephant on a hot day, or getting a Happy Meal and your toy isn't in it. That's suffering. Or as a teenager, feeling that their phone has been unjustly taken away in an act of discipline to try and teach them a lesson, or whatever. There's many levels of suffering that permeate all of human existence. Sometimes suffering is at the hands of an evil tyrant, like a supervisor who is riding you at work and always looking over your shoulder.
Amen.
Wait. Yeah. Just kidding. Come on, give me a hug. Well, that could be suffering, and I love working with Austin. It's good that we can tease back and forth. But seriously, and there's much bigger suffering than an evil tyrant looking over your shoulder. Countless families, for example, suffer for months or years, even decades, under the tragedy of domestic violence. Many families in our very communities face the reality that the jobs available to them don't pay enough to provide opportunities to thrive and advance. So 12 times a year, there is more month than money, and awful choices are presented, like which child will go hungry this morning. A long time ago, I went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, and we visited an orphanage. And in the orphanage, there were all kinds of tragic circumstances. One of those circumstances was some of those kids were like the fifth child in a family that could only afford to feed four. Can you imagine the suffering on everyone? We are collecting for Backpack Pals, and while we are making fun of the competition to get things together, the truth is that there are kids in our own community that don't have enough food in their pantries to get through a whole weekend, and so that needs to be supplemented. Some of you might remember this quirky pop band in the early 2000s that wrote a poem in song in 2003 called "Where Is the Love?" The band was the Black Eyed Peas. And this is their poem. "It just ain't the same. Old ways have changed. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are there pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones, with ongoing suffering as the youth die young. So ask yourself, is the leaven really gone?" So I could ask myself, really, what is going on in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends, not respecting each other. Deny thy brother. There's a war going on, but the reason's undercover. People killing, people dying, children hurt. You hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? Would you turn the other cheek? And that was a poignant song and poem about suffering in our world. And they asked us, where is the love? The first part of our scripture this morning puts forward that Christ is supreme. Christ is over all powers and authorities in heaven and earth. It is to him that we are invited to remain steadfast. I was looking back. The last time that I preached on this passage was in 2014. You might remember 2014 was the year that Russia invaded and took Crimea. They remember, as a part of that conflict, somebody shot down a passenger aircraft. Tragically, those people were just going from one place to another. And all of a sudden, a missile flew through the sky and brought that plane down with no survivors. There was a lot of unrest in Gaza. Well, now the headline names have changed, but the tensions continue. There's people boarding boats in the Strait of Hormuz and shooting down drones and things like that. There are hot spots all around the world. The headline names have changed, but the tensions continue. And our scripture this morning reminds us that Christ is above all that. Which makes me think of what is going on, one of the celebrations in our country right now, as we celebrate 50 years since the Apollo moon landing. 50 years ago, this weekend, some of you might remember that, were the words that Neil Armstrong spoke, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And one of the profound feelings that the astronauts report having from that time way out there is that we are all one human family on this little blue marble that they could see coming up over the edge of the moon. All of humanity, the Strait of Hormuz, the tensions in Africa, the problems with clashes in the United States, all the stuff, it's really just, we are all one human family when you look back on our blue marble from above. That was their inspiration. I'm not sure we got their message, not completely. I'm not sure we've gotten the gospel message either. Christ suffered to reconcile the world to God, but suffering continues. Where's the love? In our lesson this morning, Paul says that he is suffering too for the sake of the gospel. Scholars believe that when he wrote it, he was incarcerated. And it hasn't been the first time. We know, as I shared with the kids, he's been shipwrecked, beaten, run out of town, arrested, probably in the course of his travels, frequently hungry. That's what Paul was doing, only so that he could advance the gospel. He's on a mission that isn't easy, and he believes he is called to tell people about Christ, to help them organize into communities of disciples. It is vital for Paul to carry on this mission against the Gentiles, even though he will suffer as he does it. I read a book a couple of years ago called Unbroken. Some of you might have read it. It's no spoiler to say there's a plane that is going down on the cover, so that's not really a spoiler, that the main character, Louis Zamperini, was an Olympic mile runner. He became an Army Air Force bombardier. His plane was shot down in the Pacific in World War II. Well, he just suffered and suffered and suffered on top of sufferings. He was one of three of the nine people on board the plane to live. Then they were on a raft. I think they lost at least one more on that raft. He was then picked up by the enemy forces, the Japanese, put in a POW camp, and the suffering just escalated from there. The book makes any suffering that I could imagine seem very endurable compared to what Louis and his courageous colleagues endured. War that they endured. War anywhere causes suffering in every direction, always. And so we as people of faith bear witness against war, for blessed are the peacemakers. Paul is responding to God's call on his life. He's carrying the good news to people who haven't heard it before. This good news is somewhat mysterious, but it's also good. The mystery is this: Christ is in you. That's the mystery. God is in you. The reason he is teaching and sharing and talking is that he can present everyone perfect in Christ. Perfect. He wants to present you perfect. Tommy, Paul is saying that he wants to present you perfect in Christ. Austin, he's saying he wants you to be perfect. It's presented perfect in Christ. I know both y'all. You're a lot of things. You ain't perfect. Austin is close. I mean, really close. I'm not. Sally is perfect. You know, that's what Tommy just scored some points saying, tell him. No, remember, Christ said things like, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Anybody murdered anyone recently? I pray to God that no one raises their hand. Now, you're welcome here, but I tell you, Jesus says, that anyone who is angry at another will be subject to judgment. Anyone been angry with another? Three of you. Thank you. All of them being in Byerly's backpacks. That's just, no. No, we're not perfect. We get angry, right? You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at someone lustfully has already committed adultery with them in their heart. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's not some, I don't know, liberal soundbite. That's Jesus talking. I don't know a perfectly moral Christian. I don't know anyone who has kept or will keep these commands perfectly. But the mystery of the gospel is that Christ suffered for the ones who are angry. Christ suffered for the ones who look lustfully. Christ suffered for the ones who are enemies that need to learn peace. That's the good news of the gospel. And Christ has no hands or feet or hearts but ours in the world. Paul is talking about being totally dependent on Christ in us, not on our ability to look like Christ, not to present only those who are perfect to God, but to present the imperfect to God because of Christ who takes away the blemishes. That is impossible for us on earth without Christ, but now in Christ it is accessible, and our eternal hope, which is ours, which is yours, not because of what we might do, but because of what Christ did, which we are asked to believe. And it is to this end that Paul struggles and suffers with all Christ's energy within, which so powerfully works in him. But so what? Well, imagine that you woke up tomorrow, and instead of thinking about first being worried about your daily schedule, the first thing on your mind was the realization that Christ is in you. What if, when some coworker is maneuvering to lift themselves up at your expense, your first thoughts are not how you can outflank that coworker and protect your reputation, but your first thought is to join with Christ in loving that person who you just happened to call a manipulative little twit yesterday to your significant other? Your first task is not to figure out how to manipulate that manipulative little one. But because of Christ in you, your first call is to figure out how to love that one that would cause you to suffer. That's not easy. What if, when you're handed a demotion or an unwelcome transfer? What if, when you get a D or an F on a test? What if, when you're told you should consider changing your major? What if, when the financier comes to repossess one of your possessions? What if, when the girlfriend breaks up with you? What if, when your kids scare you half to death? What if you were more aware and comforted by the assurance of Christ in you than the fear of an unknown tomorrow? I propose it would change everything. And that good news is what Paul was willing to suffer for. So may we place our hope in Christ in us, no matter what. And in doing so, may we come to know the riches that are the hope of God's glory, which are no longer out of reach. You might be saying, I could never live up to that. I could never love my enemies because I hate that person so much. But what if, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it became within our grasp? May this hope give us a vision to walk amidst the great sufferings of our time, to allow ourselves to be used by God to ease the plight of those who suffer. Even we, as we live out the commission that God has given us to be God's children, may we let this light shine forth. The black-eyed peas asked, where is the love? I wonder if it's within us. For the church is the community where we discover why we were made. Some of you, perhaps the world tells you that you were made to increase your company's profits, or that you were made to win a case for a client, or that you were made to provide a comfortable childhood for our children. None of these things are bad, but they are all incomplete. There is a greater mission. There is an economy of the kingdom that we are called to undertake. Maybe we are learning how, for example, to manage an inventory because God will need us to organize the resources of the church to serve those impacted by a devastating hurricane. Joining the 50,000 plus of persons in mission this last year from our annual conference. Maybe we are learning to manage a staff so that one day we can lead some people on a mission trip to lend a hand rebuilding after an earthquake. Maybe we are babysitting so that one day we can be ready to be called upon to go sit in the nursery for one of our newest members who is great at singing Happy Birthday. Maybe you are learning to communicate and get along with your neighbors because God will one day need you to persuade some neighbor to repent from their racism and prejudice. You're going to need to know how to love and communicate in order to do that. Maybe we'll turn to another poet for the answer. Where is the love? 10th Avenue North is a Christian band, and they said it this way in their poem, Song, when they talk about the mystery of the gospel, Christ in you. All you who labor in vain to the broken and shamed, love is here, love is now. Love is pouring from his hands, from his brow. Love is near, it satisfies. Streams of mercy flowing from his side, because love is here. Where is the love? It's here. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that Christ is in them. Go ahead. Christ is in you. Now this time, do it again, and I want you to concentrate because you're so worried about it, I know. You were thinking about, oh, I got to tell my neighbor something. This time I want you to hear it from your neighbor. So this time, listen to your neighbor as they tell you that Christ is in you. Go ahead, do it again. Did you hear it? It's true. It's the truth. Christ is in you. This suffering, we might choose a difficult path of showing others where Jesus' love is. Where is the love? It is within you because of Christ, who is the answer, who is more than the answer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we suffer for this cause together, even moving friends on hot days, moving elephants into apartments. Yes? Well, couches that feel like elephants. Christ is in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.